Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is August 29th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. Welcome, everyone, to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And I'd like to give an especially warm welcome to Sri Kadavji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. Sri Kadavji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thanks. And I'd like to give a little bit of explanation. Sri Kadavji is with us during each and every show, and he is the leader of this very ancient spiritual teaching. And during this show, as many of you know who have been with us for many years listening to it, we cover the initial basic fundamentals of the teaching, as well as going into some of the deeper esoteric aspects of the teaching for those who'd like to hear that information as well. The shows are not the same. They are different every week, and Sri Kadavji always enlightens us with something new that we haven't heard before, and that's part of his mastership. And with that, Sri Kadavji, I'd like to ask you a little bit about this path, what the purpose of ACTA is, and why it's different, or it might be different from other paths to God that exist currently.
Well, the short definition we call the ancient science of Sahaji. I mean, I go into that a lot in our version on Saturday nights in terms of our discussions, because it has a very impact on a clear definition of what really ACTA is about. And we look at that term, Sahaji, which is the higher Sanskrit term for the out-of-body experience that many children have, and maybe people in their youth will have this experience. This evening I've got a new device in my ear, so I'm having to sort out the ankle issue. It's not bad, but I apologize if I sound a little bit awkward here. All right, now.
No, you come across
okay.
Just, you're fine. You're very clear.
Well, from my side, I have earphones in, so it's a little different. All right, so the whole fundamental idea is that when people have these out-of-body experiences, and that means that the soul is leaving the body. All right, now, teachings these days, religions don't really have an explanation for that. And when people have had these experiences in their youth or children, since the parents don't know what it means either, then they just say it's a dream or a hallucination or something of this nature. But they pretty much condemn the experience. And that's a problem for people because they're usually very vivid, very lucid, vivid experiences that are very real to them. So that can actually sometimes cause a psychotic break or a difficulty in people's mentality, their mental state. And that's why when the master becomes public, he's able to give clarity about these experiences, whereas the nomenclature of the everyday life usually doesn't have an answer for it. See, so that's why a lot of times when societies even get into a high cultural state, if the master is not forward or in the public, then there's a lot of difficulty mentally with people. See, so that's the basic fundamental of the essence of man and the great philosophers and people of history have tried to get a handle and an explanation on what this is we call humankind. All right, so if we go simple, the whole idea of the soul within one is what we call the light and sound. And the sound current is usually what people hear first. And some of the teachers will say you see the light first or what have you. Let's put it this way. The two aspects of light and sound are the twin aspects of what we call the Srosha. And the Srosha is spelled S-R-A-O-S-H-A, and it has both the higher Sanskrit words Sra and Sha within it. Sra would be the higher Sanskrit word for sound, and Sha would be the higher Sanskrit word for light. So you can see within one term, you have the sound and light within it of the Srosha, all right? So that is the original term for spirit, a very ancient word that comes from the original language of sound that we have called the sacred, sarcodotal or Akkadic sacred language. And that would be what we're talking about, this essence pool, if you will, this very powerful spirit within us that gets lost in traditional paths, and we're not taught about it when we're young because Akita is not always public. It's not publicly taught. And then the people that are involved with it, there's only presently only 1 in 100 that we call the ready soul. And that means that 99% of the people presently cannot grasp the teaching. And it makes it difficult for us as teachers to present it because it's the vibrations are thick, if you will, not to make any innuendo with that, but I'm just saying that it really is it's difficult sometimes for me to even teach it, but we're fortunate that presently now we are public and that there are 70 million people that are ready souls. We were having some difficulty with the website for a couple of years, but now we've got that all straightened out, what have you. So that's a very good thing. So there's always the negativity that the simplicity of what I'm talking about, it is simple, the irony of repetition there. Because this light, the sound current, we can actually hear it. We can actually hear it within us at a high electrical pitch. But then the medical profession actually condemns it as some kind of disease. They call it tinnitus, which is ringing in the ear business, okay? And therefore, you've got all sorts of forces against it. So you've got 99 out of 100 people that don't understand. So you've got that 1 in 100 that has a real difficulty in their life, usually, getting to us to get a reprieve from all the negativity. So when they come to the path of Akita, you've got kindred spirits that are usually very welcoming to the people that make it, if you will, that now they're with people that can understand who are having these out-of-body experiences and all these interesting occurrences in their life that go unexplained in the orthodoxy. So that, see, there's the deep esoteric ideas that we bring to the teaching each week, is that I'll touch on things that are pertinent, or some of the masters on this path, they call it a bullseye. I think that might be a Scientology term, I'm not sure. But what I'm saying is that in having these discussions, there is a deep esoteric aspect of things because people are deep. You know, they always say people that 1 in 100, that 1%er, they say, oh, they're very deep people. Well, really, my opinion is very superficial. Wouldn't you agree, Leslie, that the things we talk about are pretty simple, but then, see, they get misconstrued because we're touching on the real power of the individual, whereas in the East, they say that the soul, the essence of man, is a minimum of 10,000 suns of power. So you can see that can garner up a lot of fear in each other because we're all very powerful people. But then when we recognize it, we recognize it on the path of Akita, then you can somewhat attenuate it and learn to balance that energy. See, where most people are out of balance, and you can see why there are troubles in the culture because people are wielding this force, but they don't really know how to keep it in balance. So that's the key here, is when we talk about Akita being equilibrium, because it means equilibrium and balance, that becomes the issue. The people are seeking balance at the same time, spiritual liberation in that fifth region, the first region of the Godhead, that we teach people in Akita to negotiate the first four lower planes. So maybe you'd like to go into and talk about the goals and acts that relate to the lower worlds and the first few planes or the higher planes. So if you would go into the goals, Leslie, I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, of course. And the planes, why we call them the lower and the higher planes, are because when the spirit, which we call Sarosha in Africa, when Sarosha flows from the Godhead, once it gets to what's called the fifth plane, right after the fifth plane, it breaks off into the positive and negative. And above that, you have a pure positive higher world, so there is no matter, space, energy, or time. So our goals, how our goals relate to the planes, is when someone steps on the path, they get initiations which correlate with each of the planes. So initially you get a first initiation, which takes place on the inner, usually about 6 months after you're on the path, and then the next one after that is a second initiation, which correlates with the second plane, which is also called the astral plane. And then continuing on, the next plane is the causal plane, where we can look at our past life memories. And we have the mental plane, and on top of the mental plane, it's actually part of the mental plane, we have the etheric plane. And the mental and etheric planes, the mental plane is where religions source from. That's really all religions. Agata is not a religion. It's a path. It's a way. It's a teaching. And even though I know the fourth one, it's not. It's, I'm sorry. A what?
the science part. What's really funny is I had two earphones and I took the left one out. And now it's like listening to a phone with my right ear. I feel more comfortable now. It's really funny how when you have two earphones in, how all of a sudden it's kind of muffled. But now I'm okay. Anyway,
now it's better. Okay,
that's really
good.
Funny.
Anyway, thanks for that, which is science is part of the name, and I don't know why that eluded me at the moment.
Well, yeah,
but anyway,
these things elude us because we, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're not a religion, and I wanted to point that out. That's why
that's
religions
the
are in the worlds of duality, where there's positive and negative. But the first goal that we are looking at that a member on the path wants to reach is self-realization, and that's achieved on the first plane in the higher worlds, the fifth plane or the soul plane is what we call it, but it's the first plane of the pure positive spirit. And when someone reaches the soul plane and they get their fifth initiation, what happens to that individual is they have a complete recognition of who they are as soul and a tremendous confidence and strength that comes with that recognition. So this is why this first goal, self-realization, is so important, because we recognize ourself as soul. It's a self-realization, soul realization. Now, after that, the next goal that they're aiming for is on the eighth plane, which is God realization. And with that initiation comes the understanding of our relationship as soul with Akshar, which is the name that we use on the path for God. And so that's why that's a very, very important level to reach God realization on the eighth plane. And then after that, the final goal that we're looking for is spiritual mastery, and that's achieved on the tenth plane. And spiritual mastery is what it is. It's mastery over ourselves in all aspects. And one thing that I did not mention, because when you start entering into these higher planes, then you have choices of things that you can do on the inner planes. You have jobs that you can take, and you know whether it's on the inner or the outer, you'll get an awareness of that. You'll get a choice of what you want to do, and you'll learn what you have an affinity for doing. So it's very interesting, because this process of unfoldment really unveils all these talents and interests that we didn't know we had, or if there's some that we are aware of, it fine-tunes them. It just hones everything to a much higher level. So it's a tremendous experience going through the process of spiritual unfoldment. And even though I've mentioned the final goal of spiritual mastery on the 10th plane, it does not end there, folks, because the God worlds are endless. They're infinite. So our unfoldment continues to go on. No matter whether we reach that level of spiritual mastery at the tenth level in Akito, we have many masters who are well beyond that tenth initiation level. So there is no boredom, no standing still here. I don't know
right.
what else you might
That's
like
right.
to add to that.
Right. Well, I mean, you're right. It's a matter of a continuation. People think that. Can you hear me all right? Am I coming through
yes.
clearly?
You're
okay.
You're just fine. Mm-hmm.
Right. The idea of continuity and continuing is very important because that means there's no limitations. See, when people think, well, here comes the teaching that's going to put more conformity in my life or limitations, well, we found that as the high path, there are no limitations. And also we answer the question in terms of what cosmic consciousness, and that's anything outside the path of Akta, is a category of cosmic consciousness. They cannot answer the collective idea of group consciousness and individuality. They don't know how to resolve that issue. And what we say in Akita is a group of people, individuals. It's a group of individuals. See, so simply that whole wisdom phrase sweeps away a big issue that cannot be resolved in the other paths. So how does one remain an individual in a group? You see, that type of thing. That's the whole, that idea of the monotheism and polytheism. As I've explained in the past, it would be like if we were all in a mirror on one side, and then someone would look at the mirror on the other side, they could only see one large mirror. They couldn't see the individuals looking out from it, you see. So that's how the resolution of monotheism and polytheism combined with opposites have in common as Akita. You see, so the whole idea is Akita is a bridge. It's a bridge for the individual human being, its essence, bridge it all the way through the lower planes, as you described, the physical, astral, causal, mental, etheric plane, into the first God world of Sarosha on the fifth plane. Is that is a bridge. Akita is a bridge and a negotiation tool to get one out of the lower worlds. And that's the responsibility of this path, the direct path from the essence of soul going to the 10th door and straight above one into the God worlds. And like I said, we're the high path and nobody else can do it because we're focused on that. We're focused on Sahaji. We're focused on the sound current and very few other teachings that are light and sound paths will focus as much as we do on the sound current. They hit and miss on the whole thing. They might have some knowledge of it, but they don't really put enough attention on it to get people truly liberated. And see, that's the real issue, is the liberation point, and not all the fall-to-all about selling stories about this and that and the raconteurism that takes place. That's fine, all well and good. But when people are missing the focus or the pathway to the liberation point and not becoming liberated, then what's the point of all these other teachings other than fleecing a flock of monies to get to keep the things going, keep the cosmic consciousness, keep the lower worlds rolling and continuing, and people keep reincarnating and having no control. And see, that's another aspect of Akita that we haven't mentioned tonight, is the idea that one does get control of their incarnations. Once one becomes a second initiate, then they have a choice whether to be reincarnated or not. No other teaching can give that, and no other teaching explains it thoroughly like we do on the path of Akita, because that control is very special, because when you're not on the path, then you must come back into the lower worlds because your karma dictates that. See, and I challenge people to go out to any teaching and get an explanation as clearly as we talk about in terms of Dharma, D-H-A-R-M-A. It just isn't there. The explanations even the information, which is not as critical as the experience of soul and traveling to the higher planes, is the real important issue that we bring to the table in ACTA, that no other path can even give the information to do that. And they'll tell you high points, high consciousness, and things of that nature, but then my question is, how do you get it, you see? Or they have a magazine nowadays, and you're very familiar with it, it's Soul, Mind, and Body. And if you leave through the magazine, I'm always trying to find, what do they mean by soul, mind, and body? Can I have an explanation? What do they mean by it? But they don't have any explanation for it. They just call it, it's the name of a magazine, and that's it. See, without any explanation, rhyme or reason of why they named it that way. See, so that's the issue, two issues. One, they don't even have the information. Two, they don't provide the experience of liberation. Whereas ACTA does both of those, really powerful statements, and again, experiential. It's very important. The experience is all of it. In terms of when I say sound current, and then people pay attention to their sound current, that's an ecstasy. That's the true ecstasy and not what they call the drug now. They've even ruined that term, you know. So the ecstatic experience of soul comes when one has an out-of-body experience. People know when they have those experiences, they're really fantastic. People just love them. And not the term of the idea of being fantasy. And then even my teacher said many years ago, Paul Twitchell said, even fantasy is cast out of the cloth of God. I thought, boy, that was incredible. It's because the idea of fantastic is something very special. I mean, words can't express it, but sometimes it comes like a nobly colored barge sailing in. And at the same time, one of my favorite analogies is looking at a sunset. It's very tranquil, very peaceful, and yet very ecstatic and beautiful. See, beauty and ecstasy are a hair's breadth away, you see, from tranquility and frenzy. And even people have said that before in terms of emotionalism and what have you, is really the subtlety and tranquility can bring tremendous beauty. I mean, see, the words can't even express it. And so that's what I'm trying to say. When people have an out-of-body experience and they come out of the experience and they rush to their parents or friends, yeah, you had this and that, and then they're condemned immediately. That's a huge letdown in negativity. Whereas when somebody would have an experience and come to an ACTist, they praise that and shake hands and say, look, you did wonderful. That's really great. I'm glad you told this to me. It's really wonderful that you did. And so what does that do? That makes the person feel very happy and they're being supported and not condemned for their practice. You see, that's the problem in the lower worlds. And it's something that we can't necessarily overcome because a lot of times that's a person's karma. Would you agree with that in terms of their karma? Correct, Leslie?
Yes, yes, sure, of course. Again, if I might interrupt for a second, I do want to mention something that we are having a free introductory lecture in Philadelphia in September on the 8th, which is a Tuesday. And I wanted to mention this to people because if you'd like to come and meet the Mahaji, he will be giving a talk that evening, and it starts at 6:30 Tuesday, September 8th at the Philadelphia Central Library at 1900 Vine Street. And we certainly welcome you to be there. And if you can't make the talk, you can also find us online at ACTA.com, and everything that we offer there is free. Any books, we have a very fine introductory book about the teaching that you can download at no charge. And if you've been listening for a while and would like to have membership, you can also fill out an application online and send it to us as well. And so excuse me for interrupting with that, Sri Kataji, but I just wanted to mention that we have that and everything is of no charge. Okay. Sorry.
Right, the free membership is very important. Well, how much time do we have left, actually?
We have about 5.5 minutes.
All right. That's good. I appreciate that. Exactly. What Leslie's saying about the free membership, that's very important because there's no undertow of us charging money for spirituality. We're very happy to present it that way. So we have a real pure motive in that realm. At the same time, there's a lot of things to learn, a lot of things to practice. We probably didn't mention the contemplation. Maybe, Leslie, you'd like to take us through a huge chant, if you will. We can do one of those.
Sure.
We call it a huge chant. We have, looks like we have an exclusive on huge chant because other people will call it different things. So there you go.
Okay. Well, it's the 30-minute contemplation is something that we do daily, and 30 minutes is actually a scientific measure of the time that covers you for a 24-hour period. So it brings balance and stability, links you up with spirit at the same time, and it's actually a very wonderful experience. And so one way to do the huge chant is to sit quietly. It looks as if you're meditating. Close your eyes and put your attention on the third eye, or what's also called the Tizratil, and take a couple of relaxing breaths. And then after that, we're going to chant the Hue. And the Hue, H-U, is another name for God. So it's a very high vibrational word that completely obliterates any kind of negativity that might be attacking you. So let's go through a short Hue just for a few seconds so you can experience what that chant is like. And that just sort of gives you the feeling, the high vibration of a Hue. So when you're doing a huge chant at home, when you're doing a contemplation, which is highly recommended on the path because that really is what accelerates your spiritual unfoldment, when you're doing the Hue, you can do it for a few moments as long as you feel comfortable. And after that, you're going to be quiet, still gently gazing at your third eye. And you might have different experiences. You might see the light of Sferosha. You might hear the sound current, which can be heard as a higher electrical sound, or you might hear it in various levels from the different planes, because it can be music, a musical sound, or it can even be thunder on the physical plane. So there's many, many different sounds of the spiritual current, but most often people hear it as a high-pitched electrical sound. And do that for 30 minutes a day, and after a period of time of doing this daily, you'll be amazed at the gains that it has brought you on all levels, actually. Srikant, if you've got a little bit over 2 minutes, was there a last thought that you wanted to share with us?
Yes, I was thinking immediately about it's a matter of feelings here. We call it the vibrations and what have you, but the essence of man is soul, has high feelings, sometimes we talk about emotions and things of that nature. Well, it really is about the essence of being this very powerful spirit, and it comes in the form and the manifestation as feelings. So people need to stretch out with their feelings and not be concerned about it, because the whole idea is the idea of having the telomeres of your thoughts and increase in blessings. And you send those out, and they're returned to you manifold. So we can't dampen our feelings, if you will, because when people come to this path, as I said before, we welcome you happily, because now we're kindred that way, because we're recognizing these experiences and not condemning them. See, that's the recognition and acknowledgement are very important and a really fine support. And that's the idea here. We don't condemn people's viewpoints, and it's a very open and honest way of presenting ourselves. At the same time, we know that each one is unique. Individuals, you can't give up the ship completely, because I'm always saying that you can't anyway. It's really funny how people try to explain themselves and what they do, and in reality, it's not possible. No matter how much you... Yes, okay, go ahead.
I apologize. Thank you, Srikant. Jesus, we're running out of time. I do want to thank everyone for being here. We invite you to listen to any of the blog talk shows. There's hundreds of them in the archives. We invite you to our talk Tuesday, September 8th at Philadelphia Central Library at 6:30. And thank you so much for being with us. We look forward to the next time. Srikant, I give it to you to end the show.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bashad.